It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young. Welcome, welcome, gentlemen. Another week is behind us. We're 1 week closer to new iPhones, hopefully. We're in the dog days of summer now. It's starting to wind down. We're getting close to September. You guys excited?
It's close to pay double for your iPhone month, or, you know, pay your double payment month.
Yeah, we were looking up to see how much when our upgrade dates were and what you need to pay. It looks like, I think it said mine was eligible for update 9/27, so that's when I'm guessing the iPhones will arrive. That's my based purely on the fact that that's when I got my iPhone 10 last year. Actually, I didn't get my iPhone 10 till November, but it allowed me. It said the update day was 9/27, so that's. And I'll only owe $56 after September 2nd, so we'll see. I mean, you can pay the fee and then get your phone, so I don't think it's going to be a problem. You did something different with Verizon, though, right, Jason? Yours was saying what date?
I could upgrade mine right now. I just have to pay out the plan to where I've paid 50% of the original price of the phone, which was $11.49. So I figure after this month, I'm going to only owe like $100, so I'll end up paying that begrudgingly, but I will.
I'm on the same thing as Jason is, so same Verizon plan, basically same exact, probably same phone, everything.
It'll be fine. So one of the things that came out is that there's a rumor going about from, I think it was Mark Gurman, so we know it, there's probably some truth to it, that there's a new Mac Mini and a new Retina MacBook Air style computer. I don't think they're going to call it a MacBook Air, but it's unknown at this point, but apparently the new Mac Mini is going to be targeting pro users and be more expensive. What do you guys think about the new Mac Mini?
I mean, I don't know how to really have an opinion on something where we've gotten absolutely no spec leaks whatsoever. And when I hear the term, you know, for pro users, I mean, are they going to put a 6-core or 8-core processor in this thing? Are they going to allow external GPU support? I mean, there's lots of things that could be done to enable quote unquote pro users to use this thing. But I think the, you know, compelling argument for a Mac Mini is, or was, the $499 price tag for entry. I mean, a lot of people...
I thought it was $599 back in the day.
I think for the last couple of years, there's been a $499 model. I could be wrong, but yeah, we'll look that up in a few minutes. But the fact is, a lot of people already have monitors, mics, and keyboards, but want to try a Mac. And that's kind of the easy way to get in. And a lot of the articles that I read today are speculating that the Mac Mini is going to be, you know, or the new one that's being talked about is going to be like a $999 price tag that people will still want to upgrade from there. So I saw that. The other thing about the Retina MacBook is, are there any Retina MacBooks that aren't pros currently?
Well, the MacBook, just the plain old MacBook, is Retina. The only one that's not Retina in the whole lineup now are the Airs.
Okay, I didn't realize that, but yeah, so it would be nice to have a new Air with a Retina display.
I love the little 11-inch MacBook Air that I had a couple of years ago. I actually bought it for my ex-wife, or wife then, but like almost as soon as I bought it, she switched jobs and ended up getting a computer from work that she had to use. So I started using that little 11-inch myself, and I just love that little thing. I really enjoyed it. You know, it wasn't for heavy lifting work, but you know, it was great for other stuff. So if they come out with one that's a little bit more powerful, I mean, I don't think it's something I would do. You know, I would look at it, you know, just for, if anything, I'd try the keyboard and see what they've done with that.
Yeah, I wonder if that would change on this one if they're going to do that.
I will say that the MacBook Air kind of holds a special place in my heart for one of the coolest product reveals ever. I mean, the coming out with just the little thin manila envelope and then pulling out a laptop that actually did stuff was very, very cool back in the day.
It barely did stuff, because I had one of those, and that was the slowest damn computer, even at the time when, you know, I mean, we're talking, I don't ever know how long ago that was, but God, that thing was slow. I mean, the CPU in it was so starved. Even when it first came out.
And it had a spinning disk in the one that you had, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was before. I'm pretty sure it had a little spinning disk in it. I still, when I sold that laptop, I got a pretty good price for it. I remember I sold it to one of the baristas at at Starbucks that I used to hit up every day, and he was buying it like for his mom or something. And I'm like, it's a little older and slower. He's like, it'll be perfect for her. As far as the Mac Mini Pro, you know, think about it from the terms of it's like buying a iMac 4K or 5K just without the display attached to it. And so it sounds like that's kind of what they're, you know, kind of what they're doing. It's a 4K or 5K spec iMac without the actual display attached.
Even if it's a $999 Mac, that's still not a bad price for a Mac. You could argue, well, you don't get the monitor, you don't get the other stuff, but you know, I think that still fits a pretty comfortable niche. I mean, if I was going to buy a nice, powerful PC, I'd probably end up I wouldn't spend less than probably $1,000 just because I wouldn't want something that was a cheap, low-end piece of garbage on the PC side. So, and the fact that you guys, and I, you know, there's one behind me. I still have a 13-inch MacBook Air that still gets some use behind me as well. It's my brother's primary computer still, too. So there's still a lot of life left in those. I mean, they're not the speediest computers, but with a decent spec bump, I think that would be a... I think it's going to be something that will be really, really good. I don't think they'll get rid of that name because the name is so popular. It would be really weird if they made something for that market and didn't do it.
See, it fits in a weird category, you know, because you've got the 13 and 15 inch Pros, and then you've got the MacBook now, which is already Retina. You know, it's the one that's got the infamously one USB-C port, and that's it on the whole machine. I think the two biggest thing with both of these devices is, how small is the Air? You know, what are we talking? Are we talking about an 11-inch version, a 13-inch version, both? And then how mini is the Mini? I mean, you know, is it like going to be down to like Apple TV puck size? Or is it going to stay, you know, kind of like what it is now, you know, a little bit? I mean, think about how small they could actually go. I mean, it's really heat that's the issue now, not space. Because if you're using all solid-state drives, you know, you got to have room for your CPU in there, the solid state memory, the RAM, you know, whatever the video will be on board, I'm sure. And so, you know, how many ports are they going to stick on it, and how big is it going to be? You know, they could build a Mac Mini that's the size of a Raspberry Pi if they really wanted to. It'd be hot as hell, but they could do it.
I have a feeling that form factor probably won't change much, if at all. That's just kind of my guess, just because of the footprint from Intel.
So I'm going to disagree with you there. If they're going to come out with a new one, I think they're going to come out with a slightly different form factor. I mean, if you compare today's Apple TV 4K to the current Mac Mini, the Mac Mini is humongous. And, you know, with the technology that we've had, I mean, the Mac Mini hasn't been updated in, what, 4 or 5 years at this point? So, I mean, think about how much technology has come so far in that time. I think even with the higher grade components that are going to draw a little more power and a little more heat, they're going to either shrink it down or do something cosmetically to really change the aesthetic. That's my guess. We'll see this fall.
We need to like have an over and under. We need to like bet on like how many liters, you know, like basically. Is it like 1 inch thick and like 8 inches by 8 inches square? You know, like what is that? 8 by 8 by 1. So 64 square inches or, you know, cubic inches rather. Yeah, we need to have an over and under on how big this, how big is Mini?
If they were, that's a great show title. If they were moving from Intel to the same sort of ARM architecture they've used for iOS and the Apple TV and everything else, I think they would get significant size differences there. But I wonder what the limiting factor is going to be. And it's the power consumption from those Intel chips, I think, is going to mandate that the form factor either not change that much or still be considerably bigger than an Apple TV. Like I see that thing still staying, you know, close to the same. Plus you're putting an SSD in it, right? You're not doing enough of like flash memory or anything like that. So there's certain size, there's a certain footprint I don't think they're going to go beneath, even though I'd love to be proven wrong on that. That would be great.
So what you just said about the ARM got triggered something in me thinking about the announcement about how we're going to be getting apps like iOS type apps that will be able to be running on the Mac. That's the perfect reason for them to finally come out with a new Mac Mini, is to sell more Macs at a lower price point for the iOS apps that everybody loves for you to be able to run on that. This could literally be a computer / gaming device extraordinaire if they do this right, and you're able to run some of the iOS games that you know can do on your iOS device on this computer hooked up to a big display.
But see, that's sort of where the Apple TV is right now, and that's just never taken off as a gaming device, even though it's a fantastic gaming device. I know there's an awful lot of overlap. I would love to see that. I'd love to think that that's the case. But how big is the market for people who would buy Macs hooking up to a monitor and using it just solely or mostly for that, when the Apple TV is capable of doing that now and people don't seem to be taking advantage of it? I mean, I hope that's the case. I hope that it is. It just feels like it feels like a weird edge case. I do think that, though, the mentioning that the iOS app's running on the Mac might be a nice thing if maybe they limited that to the Mac Mini for a while, or, you know what I mean, give you some reason to go for that computer or justify the higher price.
Right. It's got some sort of special chip in it that allows them to run when we all know it really.
Yeah, they could slap an ARM chip in anything.
Yeah, but they, you know, can put that extra chip in it that allows it to do some stuff before you can actually do it with the other. And they miraculously, a year later, oh, we figured out how to do it on the regular Intel chips too now. Look at there.
I love the speculation. I mean, we could be totally wrong. This will be fun. So I do hope they do that. They're saying that the 2018 iPhone pre-orders are rumored to take place on September 14th, and that's according to some German carriers that apparently might have leaked that information, with maybe an announcement on September 11th or September 12th. Probably September 12th, if I had to guess.
Several years back, they did the iOS or the new iPhone announcement on September 12th as well, and it was a Wednesday, you know, deliberately trying to not have an announcement on 9/11. I think that we don't see an announcement of the Mac Mini or the Retina MacBook at this event, just because I think they're going to want to really focus on the iPhones.
I agree. iPhone is the bread and butter. I don't know, stories you say they're selling less. They're still selling a whole lot of iPhones, and that's their big seller. So I don't think they take anything away. Maybe they announce a new iPad, like the smaller bezel, you know, iPad Pro at this event. But I don't even know if they do that. I mean, I wouldn't surprise me at all if it's iPhone only, you know, because they're going to have at least three or four phones. It's going to be the buttonless phone.
You know, we get Apple Watches announced in September. You know, we get iPhones announced in September.
Yeah.
So that alone starts to crowd it. I wouldn't rule out a Mac or an iPad, but I don't think I would see Macs, iPads, watches, and phones on the same announcement.
I do expect to see, though, whatever the newest iteration of the AirPods are, even if that's just the case update. And then what was the other thing?
They have to release AirPower before you really make that so that it's worthwhile.
So,
but
so that was the other thing that I was going to say is I see AirPower actually getting announced here as non-vaporware.
Re-announced.
So that leads us into our next...
New and improved.
Our next topic, where Apple pulled group FaceTime from iOS 12. So at the time of this recording, Beta 9 just came out yesterday. I mean, they are coming fast and furious with these releases. But group FaceTime got pulled, I think, as of Beta 7. It's officially out and will be released at a later date. So I was thinking that next year for WWDC 19... we actually start a pool on which things that are announced will actually get pulled from the betas before the final release. I mean, that's just since it seems to happen every year consistently now, where we're tantalized with something that they rip away and drop anywhere from 3 to 6 to 9 to 12 months later. What do you think?
If I had to throw a dart, I'd put group FaceTime as first quarter 2019. Like, I don't know that they'll make it for Christmas, but sometime first quarter next year, they'll maybe start rolling out to different devices.
All right, so I'm going to go against the grain and say it'll be their Q4 prior to the holiday season, so that way everybody who gets new iPhones at Christmas can group FaceTime each other.
I'm going to say February. February feels right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Brian. First quarter of next year, like, get through the holiday. They've got enough other stuff to worry about. It's like the first big point release for 12. That's when you'll get it. And that's usually first quarter of next year.
I think it was on Six Colors or one of those sites. They said that they had used it and they found it to be incredibly buggy and incredibly unstable. So that wasn't a surprise to them that they pulled it. I don't think we ever actually did a group FaceTime because none of us were all on the beta at the same time. And the weird schedules we have, it was hard to line up. But they said they really weren't surprised by that. But it's so depressing that At least if we get the Memoji and the regular FaceTime, I think I'd be okay with that.
We definitely tried that out here, the Memoji and regular FaceTime. It was pretty funny to see that. One thing I've noticed, or maybe I haven't paid enough attention, but it seems like we've gotten 3 developer betas with no public beta in the last few weeks. Have you noticed that?
Well, beta 7 got pulled, so there was never a public beta for that. Beta 8 came right after that, like a couple days later. Then you got the beta for that. And they did the beta 9 public beta as well, right? So
I'm not sure that they've released the public on those. I could be wrong, but I've not seen any articles in my RSS about...
I thought I did. I thought that was the other day that I saw the beta came right after. The public beta came right after.
So is it me, or as these beta numbers get higher, we're actually getting worse and not better?
That's been my experience, where beta 1 was like
rock solid.
Come on.
Yeah, it's like maybe they just didn't put anything into beta 1, and now they're actually adding the stuff. And
beta 1 was the first official fork of 11, I think is what that was. That was really 11.4.2.
It was like, these have been more and more problems here lately.
So I guess I missed it yesterday. Public beta 7 was released yesterday.
Yeah.
But we definitely got multiple updates on the developer program since the last public beta was done.
No. So what happened with beta 7, there was no public beta that happened with that. Then beta 8 came out, then they got the public beta. Because they always do the public beta like one day after the developer beta. So the only one that should be missing was the one for beta 7. Everything else should have been out there, which also makes me want to like let my developer account lapse, but I haven't yet. So
mine just renewed last week, so I'm in. $100.
Mine just lapsed last week.
I mean, the betas do seem to be a bit jankier in quality as we get closer to launch. But with beta 9, Gold Master has to be just around the corner. I'm not really sure how many more of these they have in them before the announcement. Because usually you'll see the last beta right around the last week of August, and then it's Gold Master time. And, of course, they'll usually have some point release that comes out as soon as the phone is released. But
I had some weird stuff this week with this one. 8 and now 9. Apple Music acting weird, or like it won't download songs, or it'll start playing a song and just stop in the middle of the song, like for no apparent reason at all. And then when I'm swiping from the top to get to control panel, I can't get control panel to go. No matter where I swipe on the top, I just get notifications. Left, right, centered, I just automatically get notifications. So I rebooted the phone and it started working again. But, you know, it was just a weird one. It seems like I'm rebooting my phone about once a day now just to keep it running good. I mean, and that's not a big issue. And,
I mean, it's
beta. A beta, and I picked it. You know, I'm the one that chose it. So it's not keeping me from doing anything. But still, it's just weird that it seems like I had no problems at all for like three, four, five, you know, like no issues. And then all of a sudden the last week, just like, yeah.
So with beta 8, I was FaceTiming my cousin in Arizona, and it was just normal FaceTime. I wasn't trying to do anything like group or any of that. Doesn't work anymore. And it locked 3 or 4 times. Like her image would lock, and then it would just call fail, which I've never seen FaceTime normally do a call fail. It's really strange, especially when you're on like gigabit and she's on like her multi-hundred or connection or whatever. It was plenty of bandwidth. Shouldn't have been a problem. And it kept locking up just repeatedly. So that was a weird one for me. I noticed.
Like it wasn't a network lockup, like it was something with the graphics or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could still hear her, but the image would freeze. Mine wouldn't. And then it would just go away. Like she wouldn't hit end. I wouldn't hit end. It would just like it was like a dead process or something. The other thing that I noticed was I'm not running the watchOS betas because I'm not insane like Jason. But I noticed that on Saturday night, we went to a movie. And while I was at the movie, I checked my watch and like I used my, it was one of those where, you know, you eat at the movie. And I used the flashlight on my watch to see the bill so I could pay it. And I noticed that I was losing like 10% of my battery every hour. So it was my watch was nearly dead and it was getting kind of warm. Now, I know that could just be a watchOS issue. That's a stable watchOS release. But since it talks so heavily to the phone and depends on so much with the phone, I don't know if there was something there that was causing the, you know, because they do tether to one another. So I had to reboot the watch and it seemed stable since then. And then, of course, beta 9 came out. But beta 8 seemed just kind of...
So like it got extra chatty with the phone or something.
Yeah.
And it basically just broke that connection.
Because there's no way you should be losing that kind of power. I mean, I could... I've had a watch since day one, or at least day one with the steel watch, which was 2 months after everyone else. And I've never had this issue at all. So that was a little frustrating. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I saw with this, but I don't think so. What else have you guys seen?
That was the big ones for me. Apple Music acting weird. Still the crashing out to the lock screen. And then that was the first time I'd seen that, where I started swiping up at the top. And I know what the hell I'm doing, and I keep swiping down, and I keep getting notifications. So I cleared all the notifications, and I swiped down again, and I still got a blank screen. I'm like, well, damn.
I know. So I did. You know what? I do recall something weird with Beta 9. I tell the phone to call my wife's iPhone, and it says there is no entry for your wife having an iPhone number. And you look in the entry, and there's her iPhone number. So Siri has been lobotomized a little bit, where it's like, shall I call her work number? And it's like, no. Like, there, I have like three numbers listed for her, and number one with a bullet is iPhone. And it just refuses to acknowledge that she has an iPhone in her contact list. So, yeah, definitely a bugging Beta 9 on that one. That one's very, very annoying, since that's the person I call the most on the number I call the most.
Yeah, that's believable, Brian. You just didn't call, and you're blaming Siri. You're covering for yourself on the podcast. We understand.
I wish.
So I'm going a little off script here with a topic. You kind of mentioned it with, you've been a day one watch customer, so are you compelled to even entertain the idea of going to Apple Watch 4?
And if, of course I am.
Okay, but all right. So if so, are you going to shell out the bucks for another stainless one? Or are you going to just be like, screw it, I need to upgrade, but I'm going to just get the aluminum one?
Stainless? I'm going ceramic, baby. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I really do want that ceramic one bad. But the problem is, for me, is as someone who has upgraded it every single year, I do face that dilemma of whether or not I want to go like the stainless or aluminum, but I think I'm going to hold off on doing something. Like, if I were to consider the ceramic, it would have to be a completely standalone device. Like, it would have to be completely a different feature set than what it is today. Like, it would have to be more of an its own thing that I would keep for more than a year or two. I would have to definitely give some pause to maybe doing the aluminum if I'm going to keep doing this every single year. You know what I mean? Like, I just, it's hard to justify that cost differential.
And that's where I'm coming from, right, is I think the lowest cost of entry for stainless is, what, $599 with a
yep.
sport band? And then, you know, your lowest cost of entry is, what, like $350 or something on the aluminum?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why, I mean, this year I bought the aluminum when they went on super cheap at Best Buy. It was a refurb from Best Buy, markdown refurb price. I forget what it was, but it was, you know, it was a really good deal on the cellular model of the Nike one, which is, that's another reason I got it, is because I like the bands and stuff those ship with. But I mean, I just got this one, I don't, you know, 2-3 months ago at most. So there's no way I would upgrade again right now, because I just moved to this one and I love my stainless one. I haven't sold it yet. I was going to sell it, and I like it. You know, I kind of don't want to get rid of it, but I still feel like I should sell it while I can get something for it. And because I had the silver one, you know, I like the stainless one, not the stainless black one. And so, you know, I liked that watch. I was compelled to go cellular when it got cheap enough to justify going cellular.
And I'll say, man, I didn't think I was going to be a huge fan of the cellular, but golly, man, it is way nicer. Just yesterday, you know, got good news that the house, my rental house that I'm selling, closing got moved up a week early. So, you know, that's less money out of my pocket. And, you know, but so I digress. I was pumping gas at the Quick Trip, and my dad called. Well, I'd had the phone hooked up to CarPlay, so I left the phone in the car while I was pumping gas. And my dad and I had been playing phone tag for, you know, a few days. And so it was nice while I was out there pumping gas. I was able to, you know, answer the phone call on my watch and have a decent conversation with him on my watch while cars are, you know, zipping by 50 miles an hour on the highway near us. So, yeah, I don't know what I would do without the cellular Apple Watch at this point.
Being able to run to the store and leave your phone at home, like, you know, I'm going out real quick, I'll be right back. You can do that, and it's not a big thing. I need to do more of that just to justify the $10 a month I pay for the cellular feature. Again, I've used the example before of being able to walk my dog and still listen to music and do all the things that I would do and still not need the phone, whether it's open the garage or lock the front doors and listen to music, call somebody, text somebody, whatever. And when they put the podcast functionality in 5, that'll be a boon for me to sort of justify doing that a little bit more. So looking forward to that. But I've been a sucker for upgrading the watch every year, but I'm not really sure. If I decide to go steel, part of me wants to go stainless steel, like you guys, like the actual steel instead of the Darth Vader steel. But I have the Black Link watch, I mean the Black Link band, and that wouldn't exactly go with that watch.
It's like Oreo.
It actually doesn't look that bad. I've taken my wife's black Milanese loop and put it on my stainless watch, and it looks pretty good, actually.
Huh.
I'd never do that. That's like fashion faux pas or something.
Kind of feels that way. I do have a number of Vans, as we all know, and most of those
just
work.
A few.
Most of those would work just fine with either of those, but that's one where it's kind of like, eh, and I don't really want to rebuy that, so we'll see. I haven't decided. I do want to see what compelling features are going to be in there, but you know that there will be a new model announced. Has to be.
That's the other thing with me is selling my stainless model. If I could use the band that one came with, you know, my Nike aluminum one, I just don't think it would look right. If I could use that band, I would definitely just not sell the watch. But the fact that I can't use that band anymore, and the band's expensive and the watch was expensive, you know, I the combo. And so it seems like I should try to get something for it.
Absolutely.
So if you're out there and you're listening and you want a stainless steel series 2, email us.
Or just hit Jim up on Twitter, @BigJim, and let him know.
That too.
Speaking of Twitter, so the Twitter apocalypse happened this past week where the APIs that developers depend on have been deprecated and removed, and now some of our favorite third-party Twitter clients are now effectively sort of eviscerated. So the worst being Tweetbot, I think, more than anything. Which for me, you can't see the likes and the activity, like the follows and the other type things, mentions. Well, I guess you could still see mentions, but the likes and the follows are no longer there in the status tab. You don't get the auto-updating stream. It's going to be a little bit behind. And honestly, I hate that normal Twitter client. I'm considering just taking that off the phone altogether and just being done with it and just, you know, post into it, but not actually read it. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Are you going to do the same or what?
I thought it was BS. I'm a Tweetbot user like yourself. I use it on my Mac. I use it on my phone. I thought I would notice it a little bit more. I do miss the likes and the follows and that kind of stuff. I still will pull the refresh or try to refresh or something, and you just kind of wait for it to send you some new tweets now. It's kind of sad.
That will kill me during college football.
Yeah, for me, I gave up on Twitter a long time ago. I mean, they have, without the developers that created these third-party clients, they would be nowhere near where they are today. And so to throw the baby out with the bathwater, in my opinion, they should embrace these third-party clients and actually write better APIs so they can do more, so more people will consume this platform. The only thing that I do, I use Twitter almost exclusively just as essentially a megaphone. I post my Instagram photos to Instagram and then have IFTTT push them out in native Twitter picture upload, so that way it would show up properly in people's timelines without having to go actually click a external link to go into Instagram. And I only do that because I have certain friends who like to still keep up with me, but they don't do Facebook or Instagram. They only do Twitter, and it's only occasionally. So that's the only reason I even use the platform is I have some people that's the only way that they kind of keep up with what's going on with me. So overall, not a huge loss for me just because I essentially left the platform years ago when they started crapping on their developers.
So last year we talked about a thing called Mastodon, which was sort of a federated open source competitor to Twitter. And I know Brad and I kind of jumped on it. I don't really post anything on it, but are you guys considering taking a look at that instead?
I'm not. Do you remember there were even further back?
App.net.
Yes, app.net, right? So I went all in on that, trying to help promote it, get people off of Twitter, and it just didn't work. So at this point, Twitter does nothing more compelling for me than what I get from Facebook or Instagram. So I'm just sticking with those platforms.
I'm still off Facebook. I use Insta. I use Snap a lot, probably as much as the three kind of equally. And I love Twitter, still using it. One of the games I play, a Wallaby, new items are released in this game, and the best way to find out about them is actually following a Twitter account that announces them using their own private API that they push out via Twitter. And so now I basically have to have the native Twitter client on my phone because these are time-sensitive releases. Like, you want to be able to get one as soon as possible because they're sequentially numbered. You know, I want the instant notice instead of having to wait for whatever the, you know, time to load deal is with Tweetbot. So I pretty much have to have the native Twitter client on my phone, but I use mostly Tweetbot.
Interesting. So why do you go Snap over IG stories, just out of curiosity?
I honestly don't know. I've never got into IG stories at all. I think I've used it like one time ever. And I don't know. I just like Snap. I'm a single guy, and it just seems like Snap's better for that sort of stuff. I don't know. It's, you know, for sending private, and I'm not talking about dick pics, just you know, private pictures to people. You know, you know, I can, depending on what I'm doing, I can send to a different group of friends. You know, if I go out to a concert, I know who might be interested in that. Or if I'm bumming around, walking around downtown, and I take a cool picture of a shiny building in the sunlight, I know who I can send that to. And so, it's just a directed feed. And it kind of goes back to, Brian, I think me and you, we've talked about this here, about how our tweets are deleted like after like a year now. Well, Snap.
Mine does it after 90 days now. It cleans them out. I put mine a little more aggressively.
I mean, Snap's gone after 24 hours. So
are IG stories,
it out there
too, if you do that.
If you don't look at it, then, you know. I don't know. I never got into this. I was already doing it on Snap before Instagram basically copied the whole thing. So I just never started using it that much on. I don't even check the stories on Instagram, much less post them. I thumb through the photos and then close it down. You know, that's kind of about it.
That's an interesting use case. Actually, I used to not do the stories that often, but I check them pretty regularly now, just for the. I think it's more of a passive thing of just being able to sit there and watch them go from one to the next. And a lot of my nieces and nephews end up in there as well. The ones that I've gone to visit in Nashville over the last couple of years. So more so than, I mean, they end up in Facebook too, but
I will click on my nephews. Yeah. When my nephew posts a story, it's usually, you know, I guess it knows I watch those. So it's smart enough to put them up there for me to watch. And I will watch those, or my brother, you know, when he does post a story, I'll click on it. But any of the celebs or other kind of like joke accounts or any of that kind of stuff I follow, I never click on their stories. It's mostly just if I see someone from my family has posted a story, I'll click on it.
My main Instagram account is like my shooting hobbies. So I would say that probably 85% of the people that I follow are male, just because I've competed against those guys, and I like looking and seeing what they've got going on. But 85% of the IG stories are the 15% of the females that I follow. So it's pretty funny.
Oh, that is pretty good.
Mute.
I was pressing shift. I don't know what was happening there. Oh, well, wasn't that important.
Do you have a stuck key on your keyboard?
No, my hella expensive jet black keyboard is in pristine condition.
Did you see that they put all the black peripherals on sale like a week or so back?
What?
Like 30% off? Yes.
Why'd you not tell me this?
Why did you not tell us
about
that, dude?
What the hell's wrong with you?
Come on, man.
They honestly did that and you didn't tell anybody. Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was like a
one-day
deal.
You're making this up. You're making this up? I totally would have bought that keyboard.
I would have probably bought a second keyboard. Why would you?
Hey, because I'm the guy that actually has the pro unit and paid the big dollars for it, and you guys have those peasant units.
Oh, I see. That's you're what an elitist. It is. Yeah, 1% keyboard club over there.
Truly.
Damn right.
My work peripherals that I still have over here that are still my old regular keyboard, I would have gone for the all black aesthetic on the desktop here if I had known that. Man, that is, I'm disappointed in you, Jason. I'm really disappointed.
I heard your HomePod was...
And my HomePod just decided to give my home address when I said I was disappointed. I'm going to have to edit that out. Jeez Louise. All right. That was random.
Why would she tell you your home address?
I don't know. That's the other thing that I worry about by putting beta on my iPhone. I've seen my HomePods act flaky, and I don't know what's going on sometimes, but I had to reset one of them because it wouldn't do any of my HomeKit stuff.
I had to reset my AirPods 3 or 4 days ago, and I haven't done that in months. Basically,
yeah,
just
happened to me too.
Out.
Yep, same here. I was at the grocery store wanting to listen to something. Only one of them would work on beta 8, so I had to just forget them and re-add them, and everything was fine. It's like, that's so frustrating when that happens.
Mine stopped pausing when I take them out of my ears. So I'd take them out, and I'd set them down for a second, and I could hear the music just still play, just like they would never stop.
It couldn't identify that you were you.
Ah, maybe that's it.
Back to my Mac is about to go away inside of macOS Mojave, and I forget that even exists, and since I haven't used that in so long, is that going to impact you guys? And are you guys still doing Parallels Access for your remote access?
Yeah, that's what I use.
I'm old school and use screen sharing and a free VNC client.
Lame.
I know. It's so lame, but it works.
Ugh.
I rarely ever have the need to actually remote control my iMac Pro on the desk. So it's one of those things of, I've got all my important files on NAS. I can hit my NAS publicly on the internet. So there's really, I mean, unless I need to actually fire up. What? You guys are looking at me like, wait. I shouldn't have my NAS exposed on the internet?
Say that again.
I'm saying that I rarely need to actually execute a program.
No, I meant your NAS is
on. Got your NADs on the internet?
He uses Snapchat too. No, seriously, you have the... So is that through through the Synology website or something like that? Or how does that work? Or is it just like, tell me that it's like that, right?
Well, I mean, I have a TLS 1.2 certificate that I paid for and put it on the Synology NAS, and I can get to it through HTTPS remotely. Or I can VPN in and map a drive.
That's how I do mine. I VPN in if I need something usually, but that being exposed over the internet's a little weird. Though I guess with
how's it any different than it's my personal version of Dropbox?
Because probably I wouldn't want the North Koreans or the Chinese just sitting there pummeling my server over and over and over till they found some obscure day zero exploit to get in and do it. I want something a little more. I mean, it could happen, I guess, with a VPN, but it seems less likely.
I just use Parallels Access, and I've got my big drive on that. So if I need to get anything to do anything, I use that. But I don't use it too often. I don't even keep it running on my MacBook Pro that I'm sitting here recording on. It's just on the 13-inch at home in case for some reason I need to get back to that computer for something.
Sometimes I will pull up Parallels Access. It'll let you access your files that are also shared as well, and you can do them from within the app and open them in other apps on the phone. So that's kind of cool. But for the most part, I just VPN in if I need anything. So
a little segue here, but I did get my Pi-hole working again last weekend.
What was the problem?
I have no idea. I did a check on it, you know, like a repair basically, and I had to edit some resolve comp files that kept getting reset. And basically, I went through these four steps like a couple of times and finally got it in the right order where I was doing the repair, editing that file, getting it go back going, and it finally started resolving again. There was a problem with the Cloudflare running on startup when I rebooted it. So that I think that was the true problem, was that like it just wasn't resolving to Cloudflare. So the blocking was working, but it actually wasn't like trying to resolve any of the addresses. So just kind of walking back through the setup again and getting it back set up on the right order, everything's working just fine again. So yep.
So it looks like Netflix is testing promotional videos in between movies and TV shows when you're watching it. Have you, you guys haven't come up on this in your targeted participation, have you?
I have. So I don't remember what it was that I was watching the other day, but I think I was catching up on like Better Call Saul or something.
Such a wonderful show.
Yeah. And in between episodes, it was like trying to plug other Amazon products.
You mean
Netflix? Netflix products. Sorry.
Wow, that'd be really something.
Yeah.
Or you know what?
Went straight up to advertising here.
You know what? Actually, I take that back. It was Amazon that did it. I didn't realize that season 2 of Sneaky Pete had come out. And so in between episodes, it was trying to get me interested in like the new Jack Ryan thing that's coming out and like some of the other original Amazon content. So yeah, it was not Netflix. It was Amazon that did it to me recently.
I've heard zero buzz about that. The Netflix one though, I turned off.
I haven't seen any of that. Yeah.
I turned off the targeted participation in my account or whatever. The basically, you know, can we test new features on your account? Because I don't want to see stuff like that, even if it is something cool. I hate those stupid, when you're going in between, like when you're scrolling through the app on the Apple TV and you go from like one to the other, it'll start auto-playing a trailer for that content and you can't turn that off either. So it's starting to become just as obnoxious as cable at this point, and I really don't want them to go down that road. I mean, you do get that Netflix paralysis.
It's a lot cheaper than cable though.
It is. I mean, there's still a lot of benefits, but when you start, the whole thing is don't annoy your audience, right? You wanted a whole video store in your house. Don't piss off the people who, that's your prime selling point, right? Even if it's ads for your own stuff, we don't want to see it. And one of the things I hate about HBO Go when I go to watch something are these stupid ads they stick at the beginning of everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can skip
them. For other shows.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I can skip them, but I don't want to see them in the first place. And I don't get the skip intro option on HBO Go like you do with, at least with Netflix. So, God, I hope they don't do that. You know, Netflix is also testing a payment feature to bypass the App Store. And Netflix knows better than that. They will get yanked in a heartbeat. That'll get them spanked by Apple so fast they won't even know what happened. So I don't know how you can try and redirect to someone when it's time to renew the account outside of the app and think they're going to be okay with that.
Random topic, but it's something that we spoke about last week, and it just happened to me now. So my Apple Watch has now passive-aggressively gone the other direction. Remember last week I told you that I could walk around for 20 minutes, go up and down stairs, and as soon as I sit down, it'd be like 10 to the hour, and it's like, hey, you should stand up. And I'd already done it. So as I'm sitting here for the last hour on this podcast, I just got a congratulations, wow. You hit your stand goal for
That's
the
a feature,
day.
Not a bug.
while I'm sitting down. Yeah, sorry for derailing, but I did find that amusing that it's passively aggressively taunting me.
I finished Handmaid's Tale last month on Hulu, and I actually canceled my Hulu on Spotify because I was so tired of those damn ads. But when I canceled it, I can't sign up back for Hulu again on their website until it truly, like the month I've already paid for, expires from Spotify, which was actually about, I think, a week ago. I just haven't been back on Hulu because I've just been watching Netflix stuff. So I need to go back on Hulu here in the next couple of days. It was so annoying. Like, I was watching Handmaid's Tale and all the ads and stuff, it was driving me nuts. It's a great deal. It is a great deal. If you just want a cheap music and TV package, combining them together on Spotify's site, you know, you throw in, what is it, like $2 or $3 more and they give you Hulu, you know, with commercials, lots of them. So yeah, I canceled that through Spotify, but I guess it had to truly expire from when I had paid for it before Hulu is going to let me sign up for a, you know, sign back up for a commercial free account. I couldn't just, because I was just trying to switch. I went in, I was just going to cancel one and sign back up for the other, and I couldn't sign back up on Hulu because it kept saying your account is managed by Spotify. So now that it's expired finally on Spotify, I need to go back to Hulu and try to sign back up for that. Because that $12 is well spent, or whatever it is.
As much as I watch Hulu, I can't imagine doing the commercial thing again. Like, the first chance I had to ditch those, I ditched them and I never went back.
Yeah, I think I'm going to drop Hulu altogether. I don't use it. Only reason I got it was for the Spotify deal. I had the option to just add Hulu for like $2 or whatever. I have cable and I have all the channels.
Commercial
and I have
free
on demand
option.
So I really don't have a need for Hulu. And then I also dropped recently the YouTube Red or Premium or whatever it was. It's nice not having ads in YouTube, but as far as original content, I watched the Karate Kid remake or whatever and don't really have anything else that I need to watch. So that,
you'll come back for season 2.
I probably will.
That's what I did. I switched to that, you know, the Spotify deal, and you know, it's okay. I don't have cable, so you know, I use the Hulu for that. And with YouTube Red, that's something that I never would have done if y'all hadn't suggested it, talking about it here on the podcast. And I did it because they were about to split off the fees between YouTube Red and the music and all that. I found that I actually use it for music sometimes because there's certain remixes and stuff that aren't official, you know, and so they can't sell them on Spotify or, you know, they can't stream them on Spotify or iTunes. And so they're always on YouTube. And the other thing is I actually like caching like little how-to videos and things like that on my iPad or phone and then watching them like when I'm on the plane or things like that. And I've used that, you know, a couple of times over the last month or so. You know, I'd see something I'd want to watch and it'd kind of save it for later because I know when I get on the plane and, you know, if I'm not sleeping, it gives me something to do. It's kind of like a pocket or an Instapaper for video is kind of how I use it. I'm just like cache it, and then I go back and watch it later.
Yeah, that's the when comparing Hulu to the on-demand thing, as somebody who does the on-demand through, you know, DirecTV Now and sadly still PlayStation View, I need to ditch that. I don't like unskippable commercials. Like for me, my use case for Hulu is for the 9 months out of the year that there's new episodes on network television on Fox, NBC, and ABC. I'm able to watch those things the next day with no commercial interruptions in HD. So to me, with the no commercial part is priceless. Love that.
I found a loophole in Comcast system to be able to actually skip through the commercials. So you can't actually use the fast forward buttons. And by default, your X1 remote is set to, if you hit the page up button, it fast forwards 5 minutes. So you can either choose to do the fast forward 5 minutes and then back 15 seconds, or you can reprogram that button to be a 30-second skip.
Clever.
So I've got all my remotes set to be 30-second skips, and then you get in the habit of, if you're constantly, you know, if you're frequently watching the same program, you know, all right, this one usually has 2.5 minutes worth of commercials, or this one, you know, this break has 4 minutes or whatever. And so you just sit there and you're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Nope.
Done.
I do not want to think that much when I'm watching TV. I don't want to be like, this one's got 4 commercials and I'm going to go, you know, up this and that. Ugh, no. God. That was the worst part about the Hulu commercials, is there's like 4 of them.
And they replay them over and over and over.
And you replay them over and over and over again. That was the real problem. I think if I actually had commercial, like a bunch of different commercials, I wouldn't have noticed it as much. I honestly don't think I would have noticed it as much if they had more commercials. But when you're binge watching one TV show, I don't know if they attach the same commercials. You know, they think I'm like a, you know, 42-year-old, you know, woman watching, you know.
The Handmaid's Tale. I don't know where they got that idea from.
Yeah, right. And so it's like the same 4 damn commercials over and over again. And I was just like, I don't even want to watch this show because I don't.
I can't bring myself to watch that show at all. Cannot.
Show's depressing enough. Oh, my God. I got about halfway through season 2 and then went months without starting back up because something happened that, and I was just like, nothing good ever happens in this show. Why the hell am I watching it? It's just like one bad thing after another. And so I just stopped watching it. And finally, you know, I saw it was getting close to like the end of season 2 was being released. And so I was like, all right, I better catch up or I'll end up, you know, if I ever do want to watch it, I'll see spoilers or something. So I caught up just in time to watch the finale of season 2 a couple weeks ago.
I started watching Succession and I love that show. I don't know why, but it's very, very good.
The actors are very compelling. All of the actors are really good. The characters are good. The story could be better, but I mean, it's almost like what do you call it in the comic books when they have to explain like how you got where you are?
Exposition, your origin story.
Yeah, the origin story. So this first season of Succession is kind of like the origin story for this family, and I think it's only going to get better now. Like they almost had to do an origin story of how we got to the drama, and you know, and then it's going to get better after that.
It makes characters that should not be sympathetic be sympathetic, and it pulls you in, and you want to be able to see it.
Exactly, exactly.
That was why I almost didn't start watching. It's like, why would I care about any of this or any of these people? But from the very first episode, where you see the CEO in training just getting his butt handed to him as part of an acquisition, and it was the most humiliating thing. So completely drawn in. I also started watching Lost in Space, and I realized that's been out for months. But if you have a 4K TV and you have like the Dolby Atmos soundbar, it is very well done. Every episode is like a movie. I mean, it's immersive. The sound, the visuals, it's very, very good. So I'm still going slowly because Succession took my attention. So I'm trying to make it through. I'm almost done with that season. I'll go back to Lost in Space. Also started Sharp Objects, but I'm not really the core audience for that. But I'll give it a shot just because it's been so critically acclaimed. Kind of like you with Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. Did you wait for Succession to end before you started it on purpose?
Or inadvertently.
Kind of like, accidentally.
Accidentally. Okay. I've been so busy with other things that I'm tangentially aware of these things that are coming out. Like I consume the fact that something exists. And it's like, I'll have to get around to that. And then one day you're sitting around with like an hour or two and you're just like, I want to start a new show. I don't care what it is. Let's see. And, oh, yeah, I remember seeing the ads for this. I wonder what that's about. And then just diving in. And, boy, howdy, I'm glad I did. Because that one, I like watching a show that pulls you in where you don't know that much about it, but you're like, okay, I got to see the next one. I got to see the next one.
I started Insatiable on Netflix. It's
getting
crazy,
terrible reviews.
It's crazy, stupid, easy, just sit down and watch, you know, stuff. They make really bad fun of Southerners from Georgia and fat people and everybody else they can make fun of, lesbians. I mean, you name it, that show is slamming them. I mean, but it's kind of just stupid, mindless TV, and she's really pretty.
My favorite type of television, the stupid, mindless kind. I am going to do Altered Carbon as soon as I finish Lost in Space as well, so I'm so behind on things. I just haven't been watching a lot of TV, though I do watch a lot of YouTube. I don't regret the YouTube at all. when I was on vacation a few weeks ago with my nephews, they were telling me about some commercial. And it's like, I don't watch commercials on TV, kids. And so we actually, and they're like, well, what about on YouTube? It plays. And it's like, I don't see commercials on YouTube. And they're like, oh, well, excuse me, fancy uncle. So we had to go and Google the commercial so that I could watch the commercial they were bringing to my attention. It was the Geico commercial. The guy is, you know, playing soccer and he slides on his knees and he slides all around the field. So that was that. You know, I like that one.
Yeah.
That is a pretty funny commercial.
As we call it a show for this week, is there anything you guys want to end with before we go?
I almost bought a Windows laptop today. I just want to say that, but I resisted the urge and I didn't do it. There was a good deal on the Lenovo, one of the carbon sharp looking little laptops, and I didn't do it. So there. I realized I was looking at it and then I was like, we're going to have new phones next month. We might have new iPads next month. And then just in time, you know, we just found out about these Airs. I'm like, just don't do it. It's just not time.
It was a sweet looking laptop though. So that's, and it had the optional LTE. Seeing the Wirecutter's daily deals is about the worst thing in the world that I could actually look at. Cause I do get tempted by a lot of the things they post.
Definitely.
They have a daily deals. I subscribe to them in RSS and I don't ever get anything that's a daily deal.
Really? You're missing out.
I follow them on Twitter and have them in my like special like list on Twitter that I pay the most attention to. And so, yeah, I see all their deals come across on Twitter and they'll be like, our top rated, you know, laundry detergent is on sale today at Amazon. And I'm like, ooh, I got to have some of that. You know,
that's how you know you're an adult. We shouldn't tell Jason that since he didn't give us a heads up on those keyboards and trackpads.
Yeah.
Deeply disappointing, sir. Deeply disappointing.
Sorry, fellas.
And my bank account wouldn't have, I didn't need to buy it, so it's probably good that I didn't know that it exists, because I would have had a hard time resisting it anyway. But you know how it goes.
I just want the keyboard. I don't have to have all of it, but
trackpad is sweet too.
I just want that. You know I don't use trackpads. I love my Logitech Anywhere.
Grandpa.
I like my mouse.
You have a MacBook Pro that has a beautiful trackpad that works great, and you use it an old ancient mouse.
And I have it set to disable that big-ass thing when I have my mouse plugged in.
Oh, my God. Ugh, Philistine. You just want the black lightning cable, too. You know you do.
Yeah, that too.
I'm afraid to use them because it's like, when will I ever get a chance to get another one? I have two of them. That's it. Well, have a good week, fellas, and later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit InfiniteLoopBack.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at InfinLoopBack. That's at I-N-F-I-N LoopBack. I'm Brian B. That's at B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at B-I-G-J-I-M. Jason is at J-S-N-Y-N-G. That's at J-S-N-Y-N-G. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.